Dear devotees, in the last 2 days I've been explaining to you about Guru Tattva. We learned that in order to attain the ultimate goal of our life, which is God realization, we need the help of a guru. No one can cross over Maya and no one can attain God without the help of a true guru. We learned that a true guru is a soul who has themselves attained God and is free from Maya, and is thus in possession of divine knowledge and divine bliss. Only such an individual is qualified to be called a guru. We also discussed how to find a guru, and we learned that we actually can't go out and just go looking for a guru. We wouldn't know where to start. We wouldn't know where should we look, to whom should we ask. So the proper method described in our scriptures is to pray to God. Pray directly to Shri Krishna and ask Him to send you a guru into your life, and also to grace you to be able to recognize that guru. So if our longing is sincere, if it is deep enough, Shri Krishna will arrange for a guru, one way or another, to come into contact with us. It could even be through television, video, YouTube, or in person, or through that saint's book. But one way or another, the soul who is ready to benefit will get the chance to have the association of a true saint. Then the question came, how do we recognize that saint? Because Shri Krishna may have sent us a saint, and if we can't recognize the saint, in other words, recognizing means also accepting, right? Once we recognize, then we'll accept. If we don't accept the saint, then we wouldn't follow the saint's teachings, so we wouldn't get the benefit. Therefore, recognizing the saint is very important. But I told you that this is not very easy, because the saint doesn't have any kind of external lifestyle or behavioral pattern or way of dressing that could be recognized. There are four kinds of people in the world, I told you. Two are mayic, two are divine. Mayic people either behave as mayic people, and there's no doubt, we see them from outside, and the way they're acting outside, we think they must be the same inside. Ordinary worldly people, which is the majority of the people in this world. So that's no problem. The problem comes with the second type of person, who is worldly on the inside but dresses up and tries to act and talk like what we think a saint is. According to our conventional thinking, according to our stereotype of what a saint is. So if somebody wants to fool someone else into thinking they're a saint, they would probably wear orange robes, grow long hair and a long beard, learn to speak about God, do something to influence people to make them think he's a spiritual person or a godly person. We have our set way of thinking, and people who want to fool us, they learn. People generally think that a saint dresses like this and talks like this and lives like that, so I will do all of that and people will accept me as a saint. There are plenty of people like that in the world as well. Then you have two types of divine saints. That was two types of worldly people. Those who act worldly on the outside and they are worldly on the inside, and those who are worldly on the inside but act saintly on the outside. And then you have saints who are divine on the inside but act worldly on the outside. And I gave you examples of Kabir Das, Tukaramji, even gopis, famous saints from 5,000 years ago, who lived as ordinary villagers, married with kids, spending their days with household chores. No one could tell by looking at them. They were uneducated. According to their behavior, they were uneducated, didn't know how to count or read or write. So here you have great divine personalities behaving as very ordinary people. And then you also have sometimes saints behave in what we consider to be a saintly manner. You know, like great rishis, munis, when we have that idea in our mind and when we see on TV shows, like Vasishtji, Vishwamitra, these great saints who acted and dressed like how we think a saint is supposed to, right? So some saints fit the profile of what we consider to be a saint, and many saints did not fit that profile. So if we have that profile in mind, we're bound to be fooled. We could meet a true saint and not be able to recognize them, not be able to accept them. And we could meet someone who's trying to fool us and easily fall in their trap because they're just trying to make themselves fit the profile. And we say, oh yes, this must be a true saint. He acts and walks and talks and dresses like a saint is supposed to. So I told you yesterday, the first lesson in recognizing a saint is knowing that you cannot recognize a saint by any kind of physical observation. Forget about the way someone dresses, the lifestyle they live, whether they're married or unmarried, living a simple life, living a rich life. None of that matters. Then how can we recognize a saint? I gave you two ways that over time can start to give you, you can start to observe the effect of the saint's association. The first is actually the most important. If you just remember that, you're good to go pretty much. And that is that through the saint's association, your attachment to God will increase and your attachment in the world will decrease. Simple. If that's happening, what more do you need? That's the whole point of the spiritual path. The goal of bhakti is to attach our mind to God, which means the mind is getting purified. Everyone can please take a moment and turn their phones off. We've had quite a few ringing phones the last couple of days. I know I forget sometimes too, it's okay, but just take a minute and turn the phones off. So this point is most important, that actually just practicing bhakti on our own, we would not be able to reduce our worldly attachments nor increase our attachment to God. And I told you yesterday that all we have to do is look at our own life. How much bhakti have we been doing? Now maybe you've met a true saint, so let's just back up to the time before that and look at your life. Or if you haven't met a true saint, look at your whole life up until today. How much bhakti have you been doing? A lot. Some of you, a lot. But have your worldly attachments reduced or increased? Only you can tell, honestly. But knowing that the association of a true saint results in a reduction in worldly attachments, you can recognize then. Have you had the association of a true saint? Has your love for God increased or has your love for the world increased? Which one? Normally our love for God stays the same and our love for the world goes on in multiplying. Our desires go on multiplying. Attachments go on multiplying. And our feelings for God stay more or less the same, somewhat neutral. Ask yourself, have you ever cried a tear to meet God? But how many tears have you cried for the world? God is our true divine friend. And we've been separated from him forever. And we don't feel any longing to meet him. It means our bhakti is pretty weak. But when we're separated from a loved one, if someone snatched away one of your loved ones and said you weren't allowed to see them for the next 10 years, you would cry. Who wouldn't cry? That's because we have attachment in the world, no attachment to God. We say, oh yeah, I've never seen Krishna, no big deal. So if our attachment to Sri Krishna grows, it means our longing to meet him will grow and our feeling of relationship to him will grow. And simultaneously as that happens, our attachments in the world will reduce, which will result in you feeling less impact of worldly losses. When somebody insults you, you will feel less insulted. It won't bother you as much. This is a sign. The anger is reducing. The reaction, emotional reaction to situations is reducing. That's a sign that worldly attachment is reducing. The desires don't... Aapki kamnaye aapko pareshan nahi karenge itna. Your desires won't hassle you as much. Desires make us dance like monkeys, like street performers. Our desires make us dance. Whatever desire pops in our head, we run to fulfill that desire. So who's in charge here? You or your desires? Your desires are in charge. That's because of our extreme attachment in the world. So that reduces. Not just by doing bhakti on one's own. No, we've proven that. We've done bhakti uncountable lifetimes and our desires go on multiplying. Through the association of a true saint and practicing bhakti according to the teachings of that saint, our worldly attachment reduces and our attachment in God and our desire to meet God increases. If you only remember that much, that's enough. This is how you recognize a saint. I've been associating with this saint for so many weeks, so many months, so many years. This saint instructed me to practice bhakti in this way. He told me, this is the process of bhakti. Ye marg hai. Ye karo, ye karo, ye karo. Roz karna hai. And you've been following that. What result have you gotten? In other words, you've accepted Sadguru Vaidya Vachan Vishvasa Sanjamayah Navishaya Ki Asha. You've accepted the Guru as your spiritual doctor. And now you're following his treatment plan, taking the medicine he's prescribed. So what results are you seeing? You're sharanagat to that spiritual doctor. You've surrendered to him. Because you don't know. You say, I've been practicing devotion my whole life. I haven't cured myself of my mayic mental illnesses. Anger, desire, attachment, jealousy, dishonesty, hatred, it's all still there. So Guruji, help cure me of this. Guruji says, okay, here's the cure. Do devotion like this. He lays out the path of devotion. Here's how you do bhakti. These are the conditions of bhakti. Do all this. So then see, by practicing that, does your love for God increase and does your attachment in the world decrease? Is your heart purifying? Kya antahkaran shuddh ho raha hai ki nahi? Bhagwan ke prati asakti badh rahi hai ki nahi? Sansari asakti chhoot rahi hai ki nahi? Ye sab parmana hai. This is how we measure our success on the path, and this is how we gauge, have we been lucky enough to have the association of the true saint. So the saint is the doctor, we follow the treatment plan, and then we either get the results or we don't. If you're getting the results, that's all the proof you need that you're now following a true saint. And if you're not getting the results, you have to be honest with yourself. Have I sincerely followed what the saint has taught? Am I truly surrendered to the saint? If the answer is yes, and you're not getting the results, then you have the proof that that's not a saint. Move on. Find someone else. This is really the main way that we discover who is a true saint. So you see, that takes time. Samay lagega, na? Ye pehla hi din pata nahi chalega. For weeks and months, you have to follow the teachings of the saint, and then you will see the results or not. So we have to remove this idea from our mind. Ki dekh ke pata chalega. Kuch nahi chalega. Hum log nama aparad karenge. We'll do spiritual transgressions if we come with that pride. I'll come and inspect this saint. How is this saint? Does this saint fit my profile of a true saint? We may have met many true saints like that and then analyzed with our material intellect and then said, no. They could have been real saints, and we did an offense against them by mentally thinking badly about them. So we have to remove this pride. Is ahankar ko nikalna hai ki hum dekh ke bata sakte hain ki ye mahapurush hain ki nahi. Humko deen banna hai, vinamra banna hai, sant ke aage, aur sharanagat hoke bhakti karni hai, jaise sant ne bataya hai, jaise guruji ne bataya hai. और अनन्यता भी जरूरी है यदि सचमुच पता चलाना चाहिए कि ये संत हैं कि नहीं तो मैं इनकी बताई हुई साधना के अनुसार चलूंगा तो उन्हीं की साधना के अनुसार चलना है दो तीन मिक्स करके नहीं चलेगा कुछ भी पता नहीं चलेगा यदि ऐसे करेंगे. You can't follow the teachings of two or three masters at once and hope to determine anything about any of them. You have to be ananya. You have to be exclusively focused on the teachings of that particular saint, exclusively dedicated or surrendered to that particular saint. Then that's a correct experiment, right? You should only have one variable. Is that not right? When you're doing an experiment, everything else should be constant except for the one variable you're testing for. If you're adding more than one variable, how do you know which one is causing the difference? So you have to have the one variable, one saint, one guru. Follow their teachings. Give it a chance. Then see, am I getting more attached to God and less attached in the world? So this is point number one. I also told you that when you listen to a saint's words, the saint's words tend to have more impact on a spiritual heart. You may have heard speeches on Ved and Gita and Bhagavat and Ramayana throughout your whole life. But one time it happened that you heard from a true saint and the impact entered your heart and the very same words changed your view of the world. That's also something we can use to determine that, this saint's words have power. The power of experience is behind this saint's words. But that also takes time and requires our receptivity. Now, listen to the third way that you can determine that someone is a true saint. In our scriptures, sattvic bhav are described. What are sattvic bhav? These are physical manifestations of the saint's inner divine state. What is the saint's inner divine state? Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyet karhichit namartya buddhya suyet sarvadeva mayo guru. Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says, I've given all my power to that soul who has surrendered to me. Bhogamatra Samyalingacha. Brahma Sutra says, whatever divine bliss God has, he gave all that to the saint. It means that the unlimited divine bliss of God resides in the heart of the saint. That's an unlimited ocean in a pot this big. Most of the time, the saint controls that ocean. He keeps it under wraps, the ocean of bliss. You know, sometimes you feel so much emotion. It could be sadness. It could be happiness. You can't contain it, right? It shows on your face. What are you smiling about? Oh, I didn't know I was smiling. You were feeling so happy you couldn't help it. And sometimes you feel so sad you can't help but crying. But probably nobody sitting here has ever been so sad or so happy that they lost their consciousness, their awareness of their environment, right? You didn't forget where you were. You maintained your conscious awareness. And certainly none of us would have ever gone completely unconscious in happiness or sadness. I'm guessing. It does happen. It's possible. But it may not have happened to any of us sitting here. However, we do have a limited ability to sustain that, to sustain our awareness and our consciousness. If our level of happiness went beyond a certain level, we would fall unconscious. Or if our level of unhappiness went beyond a certain level, we would lose consciousness. So what happens when the unlimited divine bliss of God is given in the heart of a saint? God also gives the divine power to that saint to bear that, to bear the intensity of that divine bliss. And that is how the saint is able to behave normally. This is how gopis are walking around milking cows, churning butter, taking care of their kids. How is it possible when their heart is full of an unlimited ocean of divine bliss? How is Kabir Das Ji weaving a mat when his mind is overflowing with divine bliss? Because God gives them the power to control that. However, sometimes it happens that that ocean overflows its container. Normally it happens like if the saint were singing or listening to God's name being sung. For that saint, that name of God is not just a word. That name is synonymous with the form of God, the lilas of God, the bliss of God. So hearing the name is like putting a pot on the gas flame. So the pot is his heart and it's full of the divine bliss, and now you're chanting the name, you've added heat to it. Eventually it's going to boil over. When that happens, there's a physical manifestation in the saint's body of that inner state of divine bliss. And that is called sattvic bhav. There are 8 main sattvic bhav. For one, the saint's voice may change. If you are hearing the saint sing, the quality of the voice, almost like it's coming from another place, from deeper within, it could change or choke with emotion. The complexion of the saint can change, actually, from being more, you know, one tone to another tone, like became very pale all of a sudden, something like that. The saint could become totally still, like a statue, or be trembling with the thrill of that divine bliss. The saint could cry tears of happiness or separation to meet Shri Krishna. The saint could laugh for no reason, dance in a state of complete divine absorption with no consciousness of anyone or anything around him. All of these are signs of the saint's inner state. The saint may also fall unconscious. The saint does not reveal this on an ongoing basis normally. It's something that you have to be lucky, you have to be very fortunate to witness. And if someone has this knowledge, then they can recognize that they're witnessing something very special, something divine. It also requires some experience on the part of the devotee. If the devotee has themselves experienced something, we don't have the divine sattvic bhav of a saint. But even a devotee, a lowly devotee, a beginner devotee, will start to experience bhav due to the grace of the saint. So the devotee has experienced some kind of thrill from the grace, from the abhas of divine bliss he's received. He knows a little bit what it feels like, and he recognizes that feeling that's showing on the saint's face and the what's being expressed physically through those ashtasattvic bhav. So through that, the devotee can also recognize. But that's also, first you have to have some experience on your own. Otherwise, someone could even say, oh, maybe he's just acting. But if you have some experience of the inner feelings yourself, you'll recognize. You would be able to tell what's an act and what isn't. So you see, all of these methods of recognizing a saint require time. There is no instant recognition. Someone may be lucky initially and feel some kind of attraction. Feel like they recognize, like they belong. At the very first meeting, someone may tell you, I recognized my Guruji at the very first meeting. It's possible if their heart is very pure. It doesn't happen for everybody. A lot of people have to wait and follow the saint's teachings and do devotion, and then they get the proof through their own experiences. So you see, all of these things are dependent on your experience, not on what you're observing, or only based on what you're observing outwardly. There's some element of your own experience that's required. That makes it a fail-safe method of recognizing a saint. How will you be fooled if your means of gauging is your own experience? It's not possible to be fooled. It's your own inner experience. If that experience is the one that you're looking for, then keep following that saint. To abhi maine bataya ek teesre upay jisse hum andaaz laga sakte hain ki koi asli mahapurush mile hain humko, aur ye hai अष्टसात्विक भाव का उद्रेक जो होता है संतों के हृदय से, जब वो परमानंद का सिंधु ओवरफ्लो हो जाता है, फिर क्या होता है? कभी संत कांपता है, उनका शरीर कांपता है, उनकी वाणी गदगद हो जाती है, वो बेहोश भी हो सकते हैं, आंसू भी आ सकते हैं, ये सब हो सकता है। और यदि हमको भी थोड़ा बहुत अनुभव हो हुआ है, वो अंदर वाला जो भक्ति भाव है, असली संत की कृपा से हमको भी थोड़ा बहुत अनुभव हो सकता है कि हाँ बहुत अच्छा लग रहा है, अंदर जो फीलिंग है, जो कृपा हो रही है, हमको भी थोड़ा बहुत अष्ट सात्विक भाव का उद्रेक हो सकता है, लेकिन हमारे लेवल का, संतों के लेवल का तो बहुत ही ऊंचा है, फिर भी वही अष्ट सात्विक भाव होते हैं। तो वो देख के हम समझ सकते हैं कि हाँ मैंने जो अनुभव मुझे हुआ है, मैं पहचान रहा हूं कि अभी इस संत को वही फीलिंग हो रही है, लेकिन अनंत गुणे में जो मुझे हुआ है उसको गुणा कर दो अनंत में, और समझो कि इस संत को ऐसा अनुभव हो रहा है, कभी नाच रहा है, क्वचित शिष्टा क्वचित भ्रष्टा क्वचित भूत पिशाचवत। भागवतम में लिखा है, प्रहलाद जी कह रहे हैं कि संत को देखो, कभी कभी बहुत अच्छा व्यवहार कर लेते हैं, जब वो कंट्रोल कर लेते हैं उस आनंद को, तो नॉर्मल व्यवहार, सिविलाइज्ड, बहुत सभ्य बन सकते हैं, और जब वो कंट्रोल से बाहर हो जाता है वो आनंद, तब तो बेहोशी में कभी नाचते हैं, कभी रोते हैं, कभी हंसते हैं, कभी गाते हैं, कभी एकदम खंभे की तरह स्तब्ध हो जाते हैं। तो वो देख के, जिनको ये ज्ञान है और थोड़ा बहुत अनुभव भी हुआ है, वो पहचान सकते हैं कि हाँ ये भगवत प्राप्त महापुरुष हैं, उनके अंदर ये प्रेम का अगाध समुद्र है। तो जो अंदर है, संत के अंदर जो है वो पहचानना है, बाहर कुछ नहीं देखना है, और वो हम पहचान सकते हैं, लेकिन समय लगता है। एक बार एक सत्संग हो रहा था ब्रज में, और बहुत सारे संत भी थे उस सत्संग में, बहुत सारे आम लोग, आम सत्संगी लोग भी थे। तो कीर्तन चल रहा था और कई लोगों के सात्विक भाव का उद्रेक हो रहा था, संत लोग, महापुरुष लोग। तो एक आम सत्संगी ने देखा है, लेकिन वो जानते थे कि ये जीव गोस्वामी बैठे हैं, और जीव गोस्वामी सब कहते हैं कि ये बहुत बड़े महापुरुष हैं, लेकिन ये तो ऐसे ही बैठे हैं, तो उनको सात्विक भाव क्यों नहीं हो रहा है? एक और संत पास में बैठे थे, उनको मालूम था ये क्या सोच रहा है, तो जीव गोस्वामी के पास गए और अपना हाथ यहां रखा, ताकि जो सांस नाक से निकलेगी वो हाथ में लगे, और जैसे ही लगा वो ब्लिस्टर हो गया, यानी सेकंड डिग्री बर्न हो गया उनको, ऐसे कर थोड़ा भी सांस लगने से। फिर वो सत्संगी ने समझा कि देखो अंदर ये जो विरह का ताप है, कितना तेज है, लेकिन फिर भी वो कंट्रोल कर रहा है, बाहर से कुछ नहीं दिखा रहा है, क्योंकि गोपनीयम 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 प्रयत्नतः। ये नियम है संतों का कि पूरी कोशिश करना चाहिए कंट्रोल करने के लिए। यदि ऐसे कंट्रोल करने का प्रयत्न करने पर भी कंट्रोल में नहीं रहता तब तो ठीक है लेकिन पूरी कोशिश कर लेते हैं संत लोग, और जब होता है तब सात्विक भावों का उद्रेक होता है। एक बार चैतन्य महाप्रभु जी जो सन्यासी थे, तो लोग उनको देख के, वो मतलब हमारा जो प्रोफाइल है संतों का जो प्रोफाइल है वो उसके अनुसार जीते थे। बहुत स्ट्रिक्ट सन्यासी थे, स्त्रियों से बात भी नहीं करते थे, 24 घंटे केवल भक्ति करते थे, तो सभी समझ लेते थे कि ये संत हैं। एक दिन सारे सत्संगियों को उन्होंने कहा कि चलो एक बहुत बड़े महापुरुष से मिलाते हैं। हाँ चलो, तो सब उनके पीछे पीछे गए और एक बहुत बड़े महल के आगे महाप्रभु जी रुके, फिर अंदर गए, सारे सत्संगी भी घुसे उनके साथ, तो वहां देखे कि एक जैसे राजा महाराजा ठाट से बैठे हैं, एक ऐसे सिल्क वाले आसन पर, और दोनों तरह लड़कियां फैनिंग कर रही हैं, और आगे से कोई खाना ला रहा है, कोई पैर दबा रहा है, चारों ओर सोना चांदी, जैसे राजा से भी इतना ऑपुलेंस। तो सबने सोचा कि अच्छा वो संत कहाँ है, देखने लगे। वो जो बैठे थे पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि, वो दौड़ के आए महाप्रभु जी के पास, और महाप्रभु जी ने ऐसे लिपटाया, मतलब आलिंगन किया उनका, दोनों रोने लगे। तो उनमें से एक सत्संगी थे गदाधर भट्ट, तो उन्होंने वो सोचने लगे कि ये कैसे संत हैं, राजा से भी ज्यादा ठाट है उनका, तो संत ऐसे जी सकता है क्या, नहीं तो ये भी गड़बड़ है, महाप्रभु जी भी गड़बड़ हैं जो कह रहे हैं कि ये बहुत बड़े महापुरुष हैं। महाप्रभु जी जान गए कि ये क्या सोच रहे हैं, कुछ नहीं कहा उस समय, तो वापस चले गए, मतलब मिलने के बाद फिर वापस। तो जब महाप्रभु जी के यहां सत्संग चल रहा था, कीर्तन चल रहा था, फिर फेस रीडिंग से पता चला कि गदाधर को बहुत बड़ी चिंता हो रही है, ऐसे मुंह करके सोच रहा है कि मतलब नामापराध करता जा रहा है कि महाप्रभु जी कैसे, वो समझ में नहीं आ रहा था। तो महाप्रभु जी ने बुलाया, क्या बात है भाई, फिर उन्होंने सब कुछ बताया, उनकी जो शंका थी। तो महाप्रभु जी ने कहा कि ये तो बहुत बड़ा नामापराध है, आपने उनके प्रति ऐसा अपराध किया है कि ये जो सत्संग चल रहा है तभी मैं तुमको वापस स्वीकार करूंगा जब पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि तुमको क्षमा कर देंगे, तो उनके पास जाके उनको गुरु बनाओ, उनसे माफी मांगो, तब वापस चले आना। तो गए थे, और जब गए तो फिर से देखा वही सीन। तो उनके साथ जो आए थे दूसरे सत्संगी, उन्होंने कहा कि हम अब दिखाते हैं इनको कि ये इनका अंदर वाला स्थिति क्या है। तो उन्होंने एक श्लोक गाया, अहो वकीयम स्तन काल कूटम जिघांसया पाययदप्य साध्वी लेभे गतिम धात्र्युचिताम ततोन्यम कं वा दयालुम शरणम व्रजेम। ये भागवत का एक श्लोक है। तो इस श्लोक में श्री कृष्ण की कृपा का वर्णन है, उनकी करुणा का वर्णन है। तो उसे सुनकर पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि भाव में चले गए, भावावेश में चले गए, मतलब एकदम बेहोश होकर हंसने लगे, फिर रोने लगे, सब श्री कृष्ण की याद में कि कब मिलेंगे मेरे श्री कृष्ण, हा श्याम सुंदर। और फिर अपने आसन से उठ के एक दो कदम आगे बढ़े और गिर गए फर्श पर। इतना मतलब इतना आनंद और इतनी व्याकुलता श्याम सुंदर से मिलने के लिए। तब गदाधर, क्योंकि वो सारे शास्त्र वेद जानते थे, महाप्रभु जी सिखाते थे, तब उनको होश आया कि देखो अंदर क्या था, उनके अंदर क्या था और बाहर ये सब नाटक कर रहे हैं, पता नहीं क्यों कर रहे हैं, भगवान की इच्छा होगी। जब ऐसा आनंद अंदर है तो ऐसे संसारी बातों से क्या मतलब, उनको कोई मतलब नहीं, वो रंक की तरह जी सकते हैं या राजा की तरह, उनसे उनके लिए कोई फर्क नहीं होगा। क्योंकि ऐसा अगाध समुद्र आनंद का अंदर जब है तो फिर किसी भी अवस्था में खुश रहेंगे। तो मैंने बहुत बड़ी गलती की थी, मैं उनको उनके बारे में क्या समझ रहा था, क्या सोच रहा था, कितना अपराध किया मैंने। तब जब पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि फिर नॉर्मल हो गए तो उनके चरणों में गिर गए और माफी मांगा। वो संत लोग दयालु ही होते हैं, तुरंत माफ कर दिया उनको। तो वापस आ गए, महाप्रभु जी ने भी माफ किया और वापस स्वीकार किया उनके सत्संग में। तो अब आप लोग समझ गए होंगे कि क्या खतरा है जब हम बाहरी चीजों को देखकर समझने की कोशिश करते हैं कि महापुरुष हैं कि नहीं। लेकिन कितना आसान है पहचानना यदि हम उनकी बताई हुई साधना करते हैं और अपने अंदर जांचते हैं, अपना अनुभव नापते हैं और उसके अनुसार समझते हैं कि ये महापुरुष हैं कि नहीं। तब तो बड़ा आसान है, कोई खतरा नहीं है, थोड़ा भी नहीं है। लेकिन फिर भी कई खतराएं होती हैं। क्या होती हैं? लोगों को कई मिसअंडरस्टैंडिंग है। वो समझते हैं पहली बात कि संत लोग वर देते हैं, संत लोग श्राप देते हैं, संत लोग मतलब कुछ चमत्कार करते हैं। तो वो देखो अब फिर देखने लगे कि इस संत ने ये चमत्कार दिखाया, इस संत ने ये वर दिया था, इस उनसे मिलने के बाद मुझे ये मिला, वो मिला, ऐसा हुआ मेरे जीवन में, ये भी खतरा है, बहुत बड़ा खतरा है। तो क्यों खतरा है और इस खतरे से कैसे बचा सकते हैं, मैं कल बताऊंगा आपको। सो टुडे आई एक्सप्लेन टू यू दैट there's a third way to understand by observing the saints sattvic bhav, the divine emotions of the saint can be seen due to the overflowing of that ocean of inner divine bliss. But that also requires us to have had some experience of that inner bliss that you get a little bit of by practicing devotion and through that saint's grace. So if you've experienced a little bit of that, then you can also recognize it in the saint, when the saint enters into that state of bhav. So we see that there are ways of recognizing a saint, but they all require us to have some experience of following that saint, receiving the saint's grace, some level of heart purification, some level of progress on the path. Only then we can truly recognize the saint. And if we're not having these experiences and we're not seeing this progress, then we can understand that something is missing, something is wrong, and that something could very well be that we're not having the association of a true saint. So it's pretty straightforward if we understand this. But there are some dangers still remaining that we have to talk about, and that is people also generally believe that saints give boons. Saints give worldly boons or grant worldly boons. Or saints have some kind of siddhis, like saints show some kind of great powers, what we call chamatkar or siddhis. So these are actually very dangerous things to believe in. They can lead us down a very dangerous path. They can cause us to be easily fooled by people posing as saints. So how to avoid these dangers? And also further ahead, what are some other things that we have to understand from our side, how we can get the true benefit of a saint? We'll discuss these further ahead tomorrow. Bolo Srimat Sadguru Sarkar ki!